Tour podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. If you're watching this or listening to this, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. Today we have an interview of specific with Dennis here with me. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Moin from Hamburg.
And moin is the appropriate way in Hamburg to either say good morning as well as all day hello, how you doing? This interview is also brought to you in media partnership with Hamburg Startups. Go down here in the show note and pay them a visit as well. Dennis, you are here because you are the founder of Specific. But can we first go a little bit through what you did before? Because as always, we linked your LinkedIn profile down here. And there's the company Jung Heinrich AG. And there you did a lot of stuff like head of service, senior project management. How long have you been there and what have you learned there and why did you leave?
Yeah, I'm 30 years old, so I am not probably a younger founder of a company. So I have to have work for another companies before I founded Specific. I've been with Jung Heinrich for 13 years, I think. So a long period. I said always, it was my youth time in working experience. And when I came out of that time, I go to the next company, Zülke. What I learned a lot at Jung Heinrich, because that was my stage coming into the point of business process optimization, thinking in lean processes, thinking about how can IT support people having efficient processes and efficient working steps by steps using field applications using SAP, ERP, and APIs in between and so on. So it was my hard and logical thinking about how people work at work. And in the last years, I was responsible for the complete digitalization of the service processes. So everything between customer call and customer invoice. So dispatching the engineer, that the engineer getting his service reports, and that the service engineer is able to write his service report and out of the hours and spare parts, which the engineer use by the customer, creating invoicing and the complete KPI things also in that case. So it was a cool time with very great people, but in end of 2015, I asked myself, okay, should I work my long life for Jung Heinrich? Because it was the beginning of, I was beginning of 30s, and yeah, the question was, should I take other blood instead of the yellow blood in my mind? And then I'm asking myself, okay, what should I do in the next time? And with this comfort zone discussion, I thought, okay, the next step should be a commercial after sales manager, because I'm coming out of the after sales business processes. And yes, I know how after sales business works, then I can use this knowledge to do to have a job role like an after sales manager. But after a few weeks, I realized, no, that is not what I want to. And that was the decision and the answer of that, that I switched to the company Zülke, which is an individual software and hardware provider, because there I got the opportunity to work for more than one company in real and very cool new technology projects. And I can have a look into more than one company in a very short time period.
So that sounds pretty much like it was also a little bit of consulting as well. That sounds pretty interesting. And
of course,
what I understand, you then went on from Zülke to actually start a company. What was the trigger? What triggered you there? Why did you decide, oh, I have now whatever 15 years in corporate experience and now I want to start a startup?
The reason was the augmented reality stuff I learned by Zülke, because when I switched from Jungheinrich to Zülke, the HoloLens came up in Germany and Microsoft was searching for an first certified development partner in the German region, and they asked Zülke to go for it. And in that case, I came in touch with the HoloLens and augmented reality in business things. And keeping in mind what I learned by Jungheinrich, by after sales process, that they are field service engineers, which have guided workflows when they are working in the field or in training scenarios or whatever, I realized the business potential of augmented reality. And with the first project we made by Zülke, we got this certified stamp by Microsoft that was beginning of 2017. And with this stamp, I got the responsibility to take over the complete AR business for Zülke and to build up this market portfolio, to get new customers, to give them as a consultant the possibility how can augmented reality have an impact of their turnover, of their efficiency, of their cost level. So, and there I got so many discussions with a lot of customers that I keep in mind, okay, there is a real potential for that. And then we made a real huge project together with the customer ThyssenKrupp. And in that case, there was one special thing, measurement stairs, and that case brought me to the point, okay, measurement with augmented reality devices, and then we get a 3D model out of it. That's very cool. And a lot of companies have a measurement problem, let's say, in their business processes. And that was the reason to say, okay, let's take an outstep out of Zülke, found a new company, and put in there measurement with augmented reality devices to get 3D models out of it.
So basically, the idea is, if I understood it correctly, so basically you have like 2-3, maybe even more people walking around, like around a specific object in a certain building. They are wearing some type of augmented reality devices. In your case, for example, Microsoft HoloLens. And then actually you can take all the data and measure everything that they've seen, put together all the data, and you end up with a pretty precise model of what they've seen. Is that correct?
That is our vision.
Okay, I see.
The problem is that there are today no automatically scanning algorithm to take the logic, what kind of object it is, which you are see and scan, and to get an accurate 3D model out of it. So when I look at the use case of ThyssenKrupp, there we have a complete digitalization of this sales process for stair lifts. So, and the measurement is just one part. So the salesman goes to the customer, scans the stairs, and then he has a product configurator on a tablet, and then he can visualize the configuration of this stair lift on the customer stairs. So, and there you have, or in this scanning process, you measure step by step and wall by wall and handrail by handrail and so on. So object per object. And the logic, what kind of, or the intelligence, what kind of object you are measure is, well, it's coming from the workflow, because in the workflow, the sales guy say, now I measure a stair. Now I measure the handrail. And the outcome of it is an intelligence 3D model, because this data that the sales guy said, this is the handrail, is saved by in this 3D model. So, and when I compare this logic and way how to measure with current existing measurement processes and ways how guys in the field are measuring, there are today two possibilities. On the one hand, you measure manually, let's say. Yeah. And you make the documentation on paper. That's the worst case scenario. So a complete non-digitalization process.
Like you still have a physical wooden measure and you measure around.
For example, yeah, mm-hmm. Could be an easy solution for small companies, for example, could be an easy solution to have an overview for example, a painting scenario or whatever. Yeah. So to calculate how many colors you need or material you need. But
a proven method since Middle Ages, yes.
Yeah, of course. But if you need a 3D model, for example, to make a planning in, yeah, compare it also with the stairlift scenario. Yes, you can make an overall measurement and let's say, okay, this kind of chairlift will be possible on this stairs, but the exactly scenario, you need a current measurement scenario. And then you have another possibility, the other extreme scenario, let's say, is you put in there a laser. Yeah, you can, you have a laser 360 degree, you put it into the room and he's scanning anything what is in this room, including all stairs, tables and whatever. And afterwards, you have a real big point cloud. This point cloud is completely, let's say, not intelligence or because there is no data in. Yeah, it's just points. The intelligence came by reducing this point cloud by people sitting in front of computer like we do right now. So, In both scenarios, manual measurement and laser scanning, you have manual process steps after the measurement to get this 3D model, which you are interested in, to make a planning, to make a calculation, to make whatever you want to. And this complete business process measurement is a non-digitalized process. You see is what you get. This is our scenario. You just want to measure one stair or the stairs and not the wall. You want to measure a ground floor of the room and not the walls in the room. You want to measure in a table and not the complete room, you know? So,
What I had in mind when you're talking about measurements, first, I just realized we may add a chair lift, like you're saying, it's basically what you attach to the stairs when somebody, for example, cannot walk stairs anymore or has a wheelchair. And that's basically the platform that carries it up and down, just for the people listening to this. And the other one that you had in mind was what came to mind was when my mother got her built-in kitchen. They came in three times to measure. We're not sure when the house was built, but it was probably built before the barn, and the barn was built 1628. So you don't have any right angle. You don't have even for 10 centimeters a straight wall. So basically it goes in, it goes out, it goes a little bit left, a little bit right. So basically as they could make it at this very moment. And that would be like one of the places somebody can get his or her glasses on, and she can just measure everything by watching it. That is currently what you're looking at, right?
Yeah, this is our vision, that you just have to watch and then you will get automatically this 3D model out of it with a real high accuracy. And also, we know these glasses are very expensive, so we are working on solutions using normal smartphones or tablets, but they have to have the LiDAR sensor because of the accuracy factor.
Yeah, that was something that I had in mind, because if you're just watching, you always have the problem to see how far it is. And for example, I do have a little laser by a well-known home tool producer, and basically you hold it to the wall, you have the laser, you should not look into it, and it says you're down to the last digit, down to the millimeter, how far away it is. And that was the first thing I had in mind, that you actually attach it to the already expensive HoloLenses. That was like the first step, and now my understanding is you guys are developing it further, right?
Yeah, we do. And the next step is that we will have a self-service portal for our customers, because we know that the measurement process in general is in all companies the same. It's the same as customer service process, for example. Yeah, so it depends, not depends on what kind of subject the service engineer has to repair. The process in any steps equal. So first you are calling that you have a problem as a customer, then the service engineer has to come to you, then he will repair the thing, wash machine and forklift or whatever, the object, it doesn't matter. And afterwards, the company will write an invoice. So the measurement process is nearly the same. It's always you have the order to measure something, you will drive to the location where you will measure it, and then you will get a 3D model out of it, or you want to have it. So the process is in any steps equal. So that's the reason why we developed a self-service portal where we have a workflow configurator where the companies can define the steps, what kind of object and how in which period the companies can define it from themselves, you know, because I think the process is, as I said, nearly the same, but the objects are different between the companies. And so that we have this USP workflow configurator. And I think when I look into our development team, it's very, very extensive developing such kind of configurators. But it's very useful to have a proper platform which you can adapt and very easy to your own company applications. Because I don't want to be the next big platform which has the company to integrate in their IT systems like SAP, Microsoft, or whatever. You just adapt to their systems, and they use us just as a measurement tool, as an end-to-end solution, because we know that we want to have this data from the field in the back office as in a digital format, and not sending papers and notices by the service engineers into the back office and then working in the PC. And so we are developing a complete end-to-end solution for the customers.
Actually, paper-based notes really made me smile, because we have a built-in kitchen and our fridge broke down shortly before Christmas. And then we had somebody coming in, taking the measurements. He wrote it down, and then they got it to the retail store where they should find the right fridge. And it turned out the sale representative couldn't read the handwriting. So that is fine. Let me quickly give you two questions or two statements. Mm-hmm. Basically, number one is, you guys are currently working on doing a Friedman. Basically, what I'm referring to is Friedman, The World is Flat. Basically, that's a book of a very interesting person, multi-time Pulitzer Prize winners. And basically that is a book where he argues the world is flat due to certain technologies. But what been sticking in my mind from him was that he was complaining about Ryanair or Southwest Airlines in his case, because they made him a ticketing agent because they had to print out the ticket the night before, which is something pretty common right now with many, many airlines. And basically what you enable your clients to do, the companies, that basically they can, with the right app, at one point, that's the vision I understood, have the customers hold up their cell phones, hold up their tablets, and they can measure an object. So basically you're doing a Friedman with them. Instead of having a lot of people traveling around, you have just a handful of people sitting even in the home office and taking the right measurements. That would be statement number one, if I understood it right. Just a side note, does it also work for like humans, for clothing, shoes, stuff like that?
Could be, but I don't believe that if you scan people, the shopping experience will be the same as in a normal life. I don't think that augmented reality is a good shopping experience solution. Yeah, for clothes and so on, but for things like tables, stairs and chairs and so on. Therefore, yes, but not for clothes.
Mm-hmm. And the next one would be, so we understood where your vision is. You want to Friedman the clients of your clients. And basically what I would be interested right now is, where are the use cases? Where can your clients apply it? As I said, just clothing. Okay, check. What you had is like the lifts, the chair lifts on the stairs. But I do believe there are like a zillion other possibilities, especially now thinking along the rail lines of machines, heavy machinery, built in stuff like that. But I do believe there are like a lot of other options, right?
Yes, of course. Normally, everybody thinks at let's say kitchen scenarios, as you explained. But when you look at B2B processes, when you look in industrial areas, in the building and property management and property areas, there are a lot of processes where you are measure. For example, when you want to sell, let's say, a pallet, Palettenregal, I don't know the English word for it. Therefore, you have to measure the area where you want to build it up, because you have to plan it in a CRD system. And the next step is, for the other example, is ships. So, okay, it's not a very huge industry in the pandemic situation right now, because all ships are more in the harbors, but when you build a ship, you have to measure after each workers are in this area they are working for. So you have to remeasure, is the verfügbarer Bauraum, I don't know the English word, the area
available where, building space. Yeah.
Available
building space.
Sometimes English is much more easier.
You were referring to Palettenregal. It's a heavy duty shelf where you can basically have like whole constructs, big packages, very heavy, even approaching sometimes hundreds of kilograms or tons, and you just automatically lift them in there with a forklifter. That's what you have in mind. Many people know like a light version of that from the IKEA stores.
Of course. Thanks a lot for this explaining.
Very welcome.
Yes. And so there are a lot of scenarios where you are measuring the industrial environment. And in Germany, a lot of companies like the Ingenieurbüros and architects are measured, for example, in planning scenarios. And there's also this BIM, building information modeling, where the building industry tries to get a 3D model and a long time 3D model, but they plan in 3D, but then the agencies or the companies building the building another way as they plan, so that there is a difference between the real building and the 3D model which they are planned. And therefore, for example, our application can also be used. Just measure one special room and one special place, and to update this original 3D model. There are a lot of use cases. Our solution is not really useful when you want to scan a complete building, like with drones and so on. There are other applications where you can scan the complete building and get a real accurate 3D model when you measure long distance, the complete building and so on. But when you go into very small spaces, very small areas, small objects, then you want to update 3D models, you want to create very small intelligent 3D models, then you use our application.
I see. Now we do have an understanding of what you guys are doing, what you've guys been doing. I was wondering, how are you funded right now? Where does the money for the doing come from?
Bootstrapped. On the one hand. On the other hand, we have a funding from the city of Hamburg. The city of Hamburg has startup programs here, and we have this program which called Inno Ramp Up, and there we got also some money, but the other part and the main part is bootstrapped.
Mm-hmm. I see. If an investor sees this interview, would you be open to talk to them?
I won't say no. So, I think any company will be open if they're in our early steps we are right now. Will be open to discuss. The question is always how much money for what. And I think obviously also with this next product we have also in our minds. So measurement is the one step, but to visualize is the next step, for example. Yeah. To visualize the 3D models which we are scanned, for example, or any 3D model, because my opinion is that a lot of companies has 3D models. This German Mittelstand, for example, they have a lot of CAD models in their IT systems. And there are a lot of companies which are not able to visualize it by augmented reality, because the process to put this existing 3D data into a format which is able to visualize is very expensive in nowadays. But there are cloud services which you can use, and we also think about the next product which will be called XR Scene, from creating 3D scenes. So we are creating just not an measurement solution. This is our core product, let's say, but we are developing other 3D augmented reality products around that on a specific solution platform. And in this complete field, I think we have a good opportunity to be one of the augmented reality players in the market. And yes, if there will be an investor who will be interested in to give us some money, I think my contact will be in this notes, wherever you will put this
show notes, in the show notes, and we put them down here. Wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this, there has to be a link at least that you could copy and paste to our blog post. And there, of course, is your LinkedIn profile. Really sorry that we cannot make the links work everywhere. Unfortunately, we are limited by the platform you're consuming this on. If you're bothered by this, you should think about looking for us on a different platform. Dennis, was very great talking to you. We are running a little bit longer than usual, but I do believe it was totally worth it. Augmented reality, virtual reality is a big topic, especially if you guys are really applying it. We've come a long way from like the very bulky 3D glasses where you had to stand on a platform to make 3D shooters really work to here where you actually can apply it. We'll keep a little bit track of you guys and hope you're doing great. Thank you very much for being my guest and moin moin.
Thank you to be here. Moin from Hamburg, because one moin is enough.
One moin is enough. Awesome closing words. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Take care.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.eu podcast, or check for the startuprad.eu internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.eu skill as well.